Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a great question from Amanda, who I'm guessing is down in Arkansas, since she said go Hogs, about arrival day down at Walt Disney World, specifically going to Epcot. Should she tour Future World or World Showcase upon arrival? We'll give our thoughts on that, plus a lot more. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance out of my iPhone XS Max, I can see that I'm down to 14 days to go until Princess Half Marathon weekend. My first time down there for this big race. I'm excited, kind of nervous. I know I'm going to be outnumbered, but it's going to be a great time. And I get excited for this trip every time I post to social media, get a text message, or place a phone call. And you can do the same. You get great pictures of your favorite place. You can customize the message. You can customize the color, the font, and even get audio alerts every day. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the show by using our Amazon affiliate link. It's very simple. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. Just anytime you purchase items on Amazon, please click through our link first. It takes 1 second. You can bookmark it on all your devices, which will make it very easy. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1443 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope that you are hanging in there this week. And it's, you know what, here's one of the things I'll say about Wednesdays. And this is kind of fun because Geico, which is, you know, the commercial for the insurance. I love that they've brought back the classic commercials like the caveman. But the one that they've brought back that I always loved back in the day, it had to have been at least a decade ago, and now Mallory says it constantly, and her cheerleader friends. It's right. The Hump Day, yeah, the camel. I love Mike. So yeah, I love that my daughter is now
sure
doing
you get
that.
It
so
a little bit more because your name is Mike.
Yeah, I
used to get that a lot when I taught. But you know what? It is Hump Day, yeah. And you know, we've been doing this show long enough that that commercial was in its original run. And we're still going.
It's true. That makes me feel kind of old.
That's just not right.
Actually, my favorite is Maxwell.
There's a piggy, wee-wee all the way home. Anyway, so we're not here to peddle Geico insurance or whatever they sell. We are here to answer your list of questions.
Geico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Geico will take the money.
You know what? They have commercials on every, like, 3 minutes, so I'm sure we could work something out for them. Anyway.
I'm sure we could. Yeah, Geico, let's do this.
Let's do it. All right, we've already given them, like, $1,000 worth of sponsorships. So there you go. Anyway, there's your freebie. All right, joining us today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, happy Wednesday.
Yay! It's Wednesday. Hump Day.
Yes, it is. So how are things going in the blogging universe when it comes to Disney? Kind of a slow time right now, right? It's not too crazy.
I mean, it is a little bit of a slow time. Although we've had some crazy weeks, and then we have, like, it's weird. We'll have crazy blow up weeks, and then we'll have completely slow weeks. It's like it's one or the other. It is not just a steady stream of anything. I don't understand what's going on.
You know what? I just broke the cardinal rule when you work in the Disney, anything that has to do with Disney, you never say it's a slow week. Because right now the show comes out in like a day and a half on the podcast feed. Everything is blown up, I'm sure, by the time the show's
100%. Airing. That's exactly what's going to happen. So.
My bad. Sorry.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Disney just announced a free dining plus a buy four, get three free at the same time.
They've also announced new attractions.
Exactly. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is going to be down for the next 3 years. for a
reefer. Oh my gosh, yes. They're finally taking down the Yeti. No, yeah, they're not. Yeah. I'm not starting that rumor.
Alrighty. And the person who also understands this kind of pain, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, be careful what you say when it comes to Disney.
I know. I can't believe you said that because you're so on the ball when it comes to like, don't jinx it.
No,
don't
I'm whatever. Totally that, yeah.
I know. Oh. You're so superstitious about that. And now you jinxed it for us.
So funny.
Thanks. I'm deleting this show. This show is never going to air. It's the unaired episode. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, right. It could be like the hidden episode.
Yes. Like a track on that Alanis Morissette CD from back in the 90s.
Oh,
it wasn't a very good song anyway, you know? So
there's also a hidden track on, I'm going to throw it back. There's also a hidden track on a Justin Timberlake last album. So, you know, there you go.
Wow. Look at our music range. Yeah,
we know. We're giving you the good stuff, guys. And shout out to Jen, who's on Tragical Express right now. So hope you had a great trip.
You know, don't be sad that it's ending. Be glad that it happened.
Yes.
Right?
I'm glad you said that because I was trying to think of that quote and I butchered it horribly. So there it is. All right. We're here for the questions. Here we go. First question. What to do from Amanda. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family and I are headed to the world in mid-March. My kids are 9, 7, and 6. We're staying 8 nights and doing a split stay between the Yacht Club and the Contemporary. We have 2 half-days planned for Epcot. And I need y'all's opinion on how to tackle these 2 days. On arrival day, which is a Friday, we are set to land at 10 o'clock. I estimate we should be in Epcot between 12 and 1. Should we plan to tour the World Showcase on that day and tour Future World on Monday? Or should we plan to do Future World on arrival day and World Showcase on Monday? Do you think the Flower and Garden Festival will increase the crowds for World Showcase on a Friday afternoon? Thanks for all your advice. I love the show and listen to every episode. Have a great day and go Hogs! So I'm guessing Amanda is down in Arkansas. All right, so here's my quick thoughts on this. When it comes to an arrival day, you know, because the thing is with an arrival day, you're always behind the herd. You know, you're not going to be there at rope drop, so you're not going to be where you're in the best kind of situation when it comes to getting in lines. I like World Showcase for Arrival Day simply for the fact that you can get there, like you said, at 12 or 1, not really worry because you can explore, kind of get your feet wet, get the trip started the right way. If you don't hit all the the Flower and Garden Festival booths, that's okay. Just hit the ones you like. See a movie, go to China, go to Canada, see those things before they, you know, get changed out. Ride the boat ride in Mexico. That's what I say because, you know, Future World, you got Test Track and Soarin', and, you know, you're going to be just behind the crowds there. I don't know. I like to do a World Showcase on arrival day in that situation. Pam, what do you think?
That's really me too. I hate to have something planned that I may not show up for. I mean, you know, there are so many different things that can impact flights. I mean, last week we saw, you know, a bunch of things that impacted flights. And even if you're driving, there are so many things, you know, that can impact your ability to just get there. So I try to schedule easy for that first date. I really want something that's not going to be too difficult if I'm not able to make it, or I'm not going to be too heartbroken about. And I love to think of that first day as just like gravy. Whatever I get done is gravy because, you know, I never know what's going to happen that day. So that's the way I approach it as well. And remember, we've mentioned this before, but if you have dining reservations, like a table service that you have to show up for, if your transportation there is late for some reason, you're going to be hit with that cancellation fee. So think about that.
Yeah, I always do quick service the first day just for that fact, because that way I don't even have to worry about it. Because with the table service, I'm thinking, okay, am I going to make it? I just don't want stress. Next is my first full day is when my definite plans start happening. Now, what she could do, though, is schedule Future World Fast Passes for that day in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
That's a way to attack it. I don't know, Ricky, what are your thoughts quickly on this one?
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to do a little bit of both. Kind of like you said, you can have some Future World Fast Passes for maybe some of the attractions that are not super hard to get Fast Passes for. So you could do like a Nemo, you could do an Imagination, you could do Spaceship Earth, those kind of things. And then head to World Showcase because that way you get a little bit of both. And I find that, you know, wait times aren't super awful for some of those attractions in the afternoon. So even if you don't get a fast pass for those, you're fine. But they're usually pretty easy to grab one for. Even if you're grabbing them on the fly, they're pretty easy to get. I think that's a really good idea, is if you want to kind of get the best of both worlds, you really still can. But I do like the idea of touring around World Showcase. You know, the Flower and Garden Festival is so fantastic. And the food booths, they do have some really amazing options for flower and garden. So I think that you'll have a lot of fun kind of walking around and seeing that, seeing all the topiaries that are just beautiful. They have some great exhibits, too, that you can take in even in Future World, too. I mean, the butterfly garden, I know they deem it for kids, but I mean, I enjoy going in the butterfly garden and seeing all the butterflies, too, as an adult. So I think you've picked a great time to go. And I think that there will be tons of activities for you to do, even if you don't plan a thing when you're walking in the door. You could still have a great time.
You're also an adult in a kid-sized package, too. So, just saying.
Well, I am. Yes, this is true.
All right. Shout out to Dr. Michelle. She is listening in the Garden Grill right now. So she's one of my great guests over at the Magic for Less. I'm glad you're doing That's it awesome. Right. And sneak me some mac and cheese. It's dinner time here, so eat some mac and cheese, and we'll call it even. All right, Tina's got a question live in the chat. And again, if you want to join us in our chat, we record usually about 5:30 Eastern on Monday night, so drop on in and be a part of the fun. We love this. Tina says, hey, BOG crew, need help. My daughter has wanted to go on a mom and daughter 21st birthday trip for a while. Got a book with Mike as soon as 2020 packages come out. Yes, thank you. We appreciate that so much. We want to go on a monorail bar crawl and also a special birthday dinner. I'm thinking California Grill. What are your suggestions? Please help. By the way, we are only going down for 5 days and going to book deluxe dining. Boom. Nice. That's a 21st birthday. You know what? Because the next year you're going to feel 22 like Taylor Swift. So do it right on 21. Stop. All right, Pam. Monorail ball crawl. You know what? And I've gone through this. This is the weirdest thing ever because I still feel 22. I get Taylor. I mean, I can't believe I'm like only 29, but you know,
it's so weird
when your kid turns 21 and you're going on a monorail bar crawl with your kid. That is so bizarre. But give Tina some tips and maybe some life advice because it's a weird
Pam
feeling.
Pam definitely knows how weird it is.
I know she knows because I had to do it too. I had to take Paige to Fast Eddie's here in St. Louis, and that's the weirdest thing ever because it's like, you know, the dive bar. Go ahead.
Funny. It is an odd place to be because you feel like you were just there. It could have been like last week, it feels like sometimes. So anyways, also I think that's a great idea. And of course, I'm going to say California Grill, a great idea there too. The other place maybe I'd recommend for something like that is Narcoossee's because again, you have great views of the fireworks and there's good food there too. So the bars you definitely want to hit, of course you want to go to Misner's at the Grand Floridian and catch either the lovely piano player or the orchestra, because that's fantastic. And Misner's, that bar gives you like a little cup of like mixed nuts and stuff. So hello, it's like a harken back to the old days, right? Where else do you go and get that now?
You know what? The last time I had a bartender give me some peanuts was on the Disney Dream when I was sitting with Scott and we were at the tequila tasting. That's the last thing I remember that night.
There you go. So anyways, yes, it's a great place to go. We've always had like really good service there and lots of good drink choices. So then over at the Polynesian, you're going to want to go to Trader Sam's because hello, it's Trader Sam's. And of course you have to order one of the drinks that makes the lights flicker or the scuba divers come out or the snorkelers come out or something.
Yes.
Exactly. So those are just fun. And then when you go over to the Contemporary, of course, there is a bar there that's on the concourse level. But you know where I'm going to suggest you go? To the One in the Wave.
Yeah.
Because it's blue lights. It's kind of sublime. It's way cooler than the one on the concourse level. Mm-hmm. So we like that one too. There's also one available up there at California Grill if you want to do that as well and have a seat at the bar. And then if you want to take another one in, I know this isn't on the monorail ride, but you can take a boat from the Contemporary over to the Wilderness Lodge and go to Territory Viceroy Lounge or Geyser Point. I know, and they're all good choices. And now, when are you going to go? Because I want to come do this with
you. Yeah, seriously. We've been there. We know how this works. It's the weirdest. I'm telling you, you're going to need moral support. It's so
weird. This might be my special power. Like, you know, your superhero power. This could be mine. I'm just saying, this could be my special power.
So. For $12,000, Disney will, let you do a customized crawl, wherever you want.
I'll charge much less.
Yeah, me too.
The drinks will be on me.
That's it. I'll go $5,000. I'll cover the drinks for the night, and I'll take care of all the Ubers.
And I'll get you a room. And I'll get you a room somewhere too. So there.
You heard it here first. All right, Jessica, one of my great guests over at the Magic Plus as well, fellow runner up in Chicago, been enduring the cold temperatures as well, but we got to get outside this past week, so the runners are pretty happy. She says, any thoughts on how the opening of Galaxy's Edge will affect Marathon Weekend and the crowds for that event? Ricky, what are your thoughts? I mean, we don't really know. I do know that next year, I think, is one of the anniversary years. I think it's for Goofy, and a lot of times that will drive more runners to try to get that anniversary medal, because like 25th marathon medal was unbelievable. So who knows? I mean, I would imagine the crowds would be crazy every time, but marathon weekend, I don't know. Well, it was down this year though, the crowds for marathon.
They were. However, I think she's probably wondering like how maybe marathon will impact Galaxy's Edge. And if that's the case, it's going to impact it a lot. I think that, everybody who goes to the marathon will want to see Galaxy's Edge because it just opened. So I think crowd levels will be larger in Disney's Hollywood Studios during Marathon Weekend because everybody who's down there is going to want to experience all the new Star Wars stuff. Really still have no idea how crowds are going to be. Won't have an idea until, we get there and we get to start seeing how things start shaking out before we can make a really good guess as to how things are going to be. I mean, we still don't know. Are we going to see, hour-long crowds to get into the land? Or will that, like we did for the first day of, Pandora, the first couple days? Or will we see, something where it's going to be, just kind of mellow after that first couple days. And then I doubt that, but I highly suspect it's going to be like lines waiting to get into Galaxy's Edge for a while, but, and then you'll have to wait in line to get into the land. Or I suspect we'll see maybe some hard ticket events to get you into the land or something like that. They're going to do something, to make it so that guests can see the land and not feel like they waited in line for hours and then didn't get to see anything. So I am curious to see what they end up doing. I've heard rumors of maybe 24-hour days or, days like where they're open until 2 a.m. and then open back up at 6, 7 a.m. I mean, I've really heard things run the gambit. I don't know what they're going to do yet. And I don't think we will know until Disney says what they're going to do. So
the thing you have to remember on a race weekend, though, is that the runners have a smaller window to actually experience the parks, because if you're running a race, you're not going to be to a park typically until like 10 or 11 at the earliest. You're not going to be there at rope drop, and you're going to bail usually by 7. You're not going to be in the park past 7. So runners have a smaller window, but it's that midday that's going to just be a whole.
Oh, yeah. And I would absolutely say, like, at that point, if you really want to see Galaxy's Edge, make sure you plan a day either before or after the marathon weekend to make sure that you get into Galaxy's Edge, or at least give yourself a fighting chance, because because of what you said, Mike, that it's just a really large swell in the afternoon, your better chance is going to be, a day before or a day after, or a couple days before or a couple days after, to be able to see Galaxy's Edge.
All right. So Michael's got a question, a good question here, because of stuff that's been happening lately at the Magic Kingdom. He's asking, guys, is there a set schedule for the rare characters currently in Town Square at Magic Kingdom, hoping for Phineas and Ferb for my 5-year-old? So, Ricky, do we know anything? I mean, because they've been taking out, like, the Zootopia people, Peter Pan, Robin Hood's been out there. Some crazy characters there in Town Square. Any rhyme or reason to how this is happening?
So, yes and no. There is an official schedule. I'm not 100% sure what the schedule is offhand, but I do know that there is an official schedule. I would go to guest relations to ask what that schedule is. And also keep in mind, that schedule may change as we, you know, go through the months. So what may be happening right now may not be happening in a month from now. So, you know, I would absolutely go to Yes Relations or potentially check the app to see what characters may or may not be meeting. They only meet at the flagpole. Mm-hmm. The limited time characters are only meeting at the flagpole. But yeah, I think that, although I think somebody did post the schedule potentially in the chat here. Let me see if I can find it really quickly. So they say that Chicken Little and Abby Mallard are meeting on Sundays. Robin Hood and Lil Jon are meeting on Mondays. Gideon and Foul Fellow are on Tuesday. Emile and Remy are on Wednesday. Prince John and Farrah Tuck are on Thursday. And Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde are on Friday. And then I believe Phineas and Ferb are meeting on Saturdays. So I think that might be, but again, the schedule can change. So I would absolutely ask the Guest Relations if you have a character you want to meet for sure.
All right, good stuff. And Teresa, in the, I got to read this comment in the chat. It's cracking me up. She says, we spend so much time with y'all that we feel like we're your family. Ricky's the fun, zany cousin that makes everyone laugh in the family reunions. Mike is the cool uncle who does so much for everyone in the family. Woohoo! And Pam is that best friend everybody knows is part of the chosen family. You guys are the best from the Cruz family.
That's so nice. Nice.
I'm the fun uncle.
That is nice.
You're a zany cousin, Ricky.
I know. Well, it seems about right to me. So.
I love
it. I'm not going to deny that one. Let's just be perfectly honest.
Okay. She's owning it.
Let's get to the next question from the inbox. It's titled an Epcot-based trip. Hello, Be Our Guest. I'm taking my wife to Walt Disney World for her birthday. The trip dates are June 1st through June 5th. She is a huge Epcot fan, like super huge. There is a rare evening extra magic hours at Epcot during our stay, and we're going to be planning on taking full advantage. We're staying at Pop for budgetary reasons, but I'm thinking about doing a split stay with the Boardwalk. My question is, do you think it'd be worth it to only stay one night at the Boardwalk? Again, she's a super big fan of Epcot and is looking forward to the extra hours the night will be in the park. We're annual pass holders, so park hopping is also something we do a lot of. I love your show. It helps me get through to my next Disney trip. And this is from Belle down in Roswell, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. One of your neighbors, Ricky, yep. Right? You're north.
Yep.
Your sugar smoke, yes, or something. Something like that. Georgia. I don't want to say it. All right. So anyway, did we mention that this person is a huge Epcot fan? So
that's right.
I've done this. And you know what? I've done this on the last like 3 or 4 years where I make sure that I'm staying at an Epcot Air resort for the night of the 4th because I don't want to have to deal with, you know, well, Ricky took us back one night. We thank you for that. It was like a harrowing ride. But ever since that night, I've always booked a night at Yacht Club or Beach Club or Boardwalk.
Mike enjoyed it so much that he's made sure that it will never happen again.
I loved it. It was fun. It was like Test Track, but for real. Like, it was kind of fun. Anyway, so yeah.
Because that car may or may not have almost hit us.
Or we may have hit them. I don't know. Pam, you do the split stays, and I think this is a great idea because, you know, they're staying at Pop for budgetary reasons, but that one night splurge, and especially if you can catch an annual pass offer, like I caught some annual pass offers for guests just today at Boardwalk. And I mean, it's expensive, but if you catch an AP offer, and especially for one night, it's not outrageous if you go with the standard view room, and it's so nice to walk back to your room.
It is, you know, I mean, that's my favorite area to stay, really, is in that Epcot area. I just like being there. I love being able to walk to Epcot. You know, when you say what's your favorite theme park, I go back and forth between Magic Kingdom and Epcot a lot, because there's just, you know, I'll have a trip where we do all kinds of Epcot things. I'm like, Epcot's my favorite. I love Epcot. There are so many reasons I love Epcot. And then we'll do like a trip where we're heavy on the Magic Kingdom. I'm like, oh, Magic Kingdom makes me feel like a kid again. I love Magic Kingdom. So anyways, those two parks. And then I'm like, oh, but Animal Kingdom, I like you too. And then when Star Wars opens, all bets are off. So anyways.
I like how you haven't said anything about Hollywood Studios now, the way it is. By
she got there.
You know what's funny? I love Baseline Tap House so much.
Yes, the bar.
It puts it in the running so much. So anyways, I know, right? But I love doing split stays. I love experiencing two different resorts. I think it's absolutely a great move to make sure you're experiencing the what would be nicer resort at the end of the stay instead of the beginning. It's a little hard to fall from grace.
Nothing wrong with pot, but it ain't Boardwalk. I mean, you know, that's right. How it is.
You'd just be sitting there being like, well, yesterday I was at the Boardwalk and, you know, whatever. One of the things I'll suggest to you is not only do you want to take advantage of that great walk from the Boardwalk over to Epcot so that you can enjoy Epcot, but schedule some time at the resort. You know, I say this often, but Disney has some great resorts with some great pools, some great activities, and just stuff you want to see. And so make sure you take advantage of that if you're going to spend the night and splurge at the Boardwalk. But go and enjoy. It is worth it. It really is. So,
all right. So let's get to another question in the chat. It's from Lindsay. I have one day at Walt Disney World in Epcot while I'm a chaperone at a high school DECA competition. Where should we spend our day? Park hopping will not be an option. Selfishly, I want to experience Toy Story Land for the first time, but is that appealing to teens? Is there a more appealing park for that age range? Ricky, you're taking teens. One day you can't park hop. Where are they going?
You know what? Honestly, Hollywood Studios might be a good park to take them to, because you do have Toy Story Land, which has, you know, the fun attractions. Slinky Dog Dash is fantastic, I will say. Like, it looks kiddie, but it's not. It has some definite thrill to it. Plus, you have Tower of Terror, which is a definite thrill attraction. And you have Rock and Roller Coaster, which is 100% a thrill attraction. So, and Star Tours, you add that in there. I think Hollywood Studios might be a really good option to choose, to be perfectly honest.
You see, I don't know if I'd have gone with Studios, but that's a good point. For teens, they might like it. Yeah,
There's a lot of thrill there.
Yeah, there is. Pam, what would you say if you had to pick one of the four?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking as well. And the reason, you know, the reasons that Ricky mentioned is that there's a lot of thrill rides, which is what a lot of teens are looking for. Sometimes you hear the complaint that some teens find Magic Kingdom to be too babyish. I don't really think that's a huge concern, but if you're thinking at all about, you know, what kind of attractions would appeal to that age range, I think that Hollywood Studios does really encompass a lot. If they like Star Wars at all, having the opportunity to meet those characters, I think is really a cool thing. If I could do lunch with a group of teenagers at 50s, that would be a fun time thinking about that. So you might want to consider that. You know, sometimes Epcot can be something that teenagers get tired of after a while, right? They feel like you're tricking them into learning something about cultures and other things.
God forbid.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, there could be that. The other one, I think Animal Kingdom has some thrilling attractions too, and really has a lot of things to do when you consider Pandora and Everest and, you know, all the different animal things. So that might be a choice too. But I think that Hollywood Studios, which we were just making fun of, could be the preferred park for this group. So,
all right. Good luck with that, boy. Taking teens is a harrowing experience.
Oh, man.
Good stuff. Don't lose anybody. All right. Betsy's got a good question here in the chat. And she says, and thanks to our chat for being here with us. You guys are awesome. We love you participating in the show with us.
We get great feedback.
Oh, man.
We
love
do.
It. Love
yeah,
it.
Apparently I'm a crazy cousin or whatever.
That's it. That's the best thing ever.
I love that.
I'm a happy uncle or whatever. Joanne's loving that. Funny uncle. Probably funny looking uncle. But anyway, as she says, in the past, Disney's done some kind of free dining before Christmas. So do you think that because of the opening of Star Wars, we have any chance for them to do that again this year?
That's funny.
So I'm going to address this one to Pam, but I will tell you that, you know, obviously I'm working every day, all day, you know, planning trips and stuff. And I will say that inventory is getting extremely tight for November and December already. And for a discount to be triggered, you know, you got to think about Disney's a business. So what do they want to do? They want to put beds or heads in the beds, they say. They want to get people down there to have great vacations. But if all the rooms are near capacity or at capacity, there is less incentive to put out a great discount. But we don't know, Pam, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Because you've been doing this longer than I have.
I just can't anticipate that with the opening of Galaxy's Edge coming sometime toward the end of the year, that there's going to be any way that we'll see a big discount happen at that time. I just don't think it will. What I've been advising people is, if you want to take advantage of free dining, and free dining can save people, especially depending on where they're staying and the number of people staying in the room, can be a huge savings. And if you want to do that, if you want to take advantage of free dining, take advantage of it now while it's still available. Don't count on it being available later. It will be, you know, here's the funny thing. I remember right after 9/11, there were definite times when you could get a room like at one of the value resorts for, remember this, like $59 a night. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we became so accustomed to it for a while that I think at one point Disney had no need to do that any longer. And those rates disappeared. And I think a lot of people were like, oh, but last year they offered it, so I thought they'd offer it this year. And that's just not the case anymore. So, you know, just think about that. If that's what's most important to you, is to secure free dining and pay that discounted price, then go ahead and do it for when it's available this year. I cannot guarantee, and I can't really even fathom, that they will be offering that toward the end of next year. I just really can't. And let me tell you, even without Galaxy's Edge, there is still so much to do at Walt Disney World that I think you'll just, you know, you'll see it at some point. I know you will. So
that's true. All right. Next question. Go back to the inbox here with a question from Caitlin. Hey, BOGP crew. It's titled Disney Planning Newbie, kind of. I wrote in a few months ago about dining suggestions for a foodie and a picky eater. After all the super great tips and tricks I've learned from your show, we've decided to eat at Olivia's for our arrival day. Oh, I love buttermilk chicken. That's all I got to say. Olivia's so good. She says, my question is in regard to the lunch and dinner dining times. We'd specifically like to enjoy their lunch menu. When making an ADR, will the time of the reservation determine the menu or the time your order gets taken at the table? We're hoping to snag the latest lunch ADR, but want to make sure we'll have the choice of the lunch menu. Hope this question makes sense. Thanks for all you guys do. Your show brings the magical dose of Disney to me every single week. And for that, I'm so grateful. Thanks, Caitlin. Well, Caitlin, we're so grateful that you take the time to listen. Thank you so much. So, Pam, or Ricky, I don't know, because I've never really thought about this. Well, actually, Ricky, you tend to do the old, this is the buffet trick, where they do the old switch over to maybe breakfast to lunch or whatever, so you
right.
get two meals in one. But at a place like Olivia's where it has a fixed menu, what if you have the last, like, lunch time ADR? Say dinner starts at 4, your ADR is at 3:50. How's that going to work? I never thought about that.
Yeah, so I think that it kind of depends on the restaurant. I would think that if you had the ADR at 3:50, try to show up just a little bit early, you know, about that 15, 20 minutes at least early, and see if they can get you in. I kind of had this issue. I ran into this issue a little bit when we went to Ale & Compass, because I wanted breakfast, and we had the last ADR of like a 10:40, 10:50, something like that, when I was just down there, and they were a little delayed in seating us, so I was a little worried that I was going to be stuck with the lunch menu when I really wanted breakfast. I'm sure they have a little bit of a grace period, let's put it that way, where if you came in and said, I really wanted the lunch menu, they would still give it to you, especially if your ADR was for the lunch, you know, option. Like for me, if they had seated us after 11 o'clock and I wanted the you know, the breakfast menu, I'm sure I could have said, hey, I had an ADR for breakfast. I would like the breakfast option. So that's kind of how I think that works.
And especially a place like Olivia's, I mean, it's not got a huge kitchen. I mean, they just had that,
right.
that menu there. It's not like the stuff went away. So,
it's true. And there's actually a burger that my husband loves, and Mike likes it too, called the Duval Burger, which it has shrimp and avocado on it. It's really a good burger. And they actually only offer it on the lunch menu. And the when we were there.
Really?
I know, right? When we were there, my husband was lamenting about that. And he was like, I love that Duval Burger. And she's like, oh, we can make that for you. So it was not a big deal. When Olivia switched to having a very distinct dinner and lunch menu, they took some favorites that were only on the lunch menu. I know. So it was sad. So anyways.
I will cry if they get rid of the buttermilk chicken. It is so stinking good.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever do that.
Welcome home, indeed. That's what I say about Olivia's. All right, next question from the inbox. Looks like it's from Michael J. He's 2,333 miles from Walt Disney World. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My girlfriend and I are visiting the world this coming May and are interested in attending one of the after-hours events at Hollywood Studios. I've noticed that Disney has only added dates up till April. Do you think more dates will be added closer as it gets closer to May? Also, one other question. We have a Garden Rocks dining package at Rose and Crown to see Starship, starring Mickey Thomas, the 8 o'clock show. And was wondering about the guaranteed seating and how that works. Excuse me. Is there a certain time in which we should show up to get in line so that we can get a good seat? A huge thank you to the three of you for the amazing work you do. Much appreciated, Michael. All right. First of all, let's talk about the after hours. Man, these things are so popular, and I get this question so much. Ricky, what is the story? Obviously, Disney's waiting to see to try to anticipate the demand, how they're going to sell these things. But what's the story? Like, is it still April? Because this came in about 5 days ago. So
as of right now, of course, again, we mentioned this. They'll change
because
we're recording it early. But yeah, as of right now, it's still April. It's one of the frustrating things that happens with these after-hours hard ticket things, like dessert parties, that kind of thing. Disney is really slow on the uptake of hosting when they are available. It is not 180 days. Everybody expects it to be 180 days because dining is 180 days. I can tell you that's not the case for these special events like this. This goes for these after-hours events, early morning magic events, as well as dessert parties. They just don't release this information until usually about 2 to 3 months maybe before your trip. So right now, like I said, we have the April time period for this going on at the moment. They'll probably release the May, June options, maybe July here within the next month, I would assume. Again, that's me assuming. I'm not 100% sure because it's Disney and they don't, you know, go on a timetable with these things. It's kind of just when they feel like releasing them, like, ta-da, here you go. It's unfortunate because you really do have, if it's something that you want to do, you really do have to keep on the ball to see when they get released. Now, the good thing about, you know, the Disney community nowadays is, you know, we'll tell you, us news people, we'll tell you when these things get released, and we'll tell you immediately. So you don't have to keep on the ball as much as you maybe thought you would have. But, it really is. There is no set time for when they release these things.
It's very frustrating. I can absolutely confirm that because here's the other thing that makes it even more frustrating. When you call in to book and they say there's no availability.
Yes.
Is there no availability because it was released or no availability because it hasn't been released? Like, which one is it? And they don't know a lot of the time. Yeah. Like, the cast members that are taking the dining reservations can't tell. Hello. Mm-hmm. It is 2019, people.
Yes.
Man on the moon, but we cannot figure out
how to tell people
no availability because it hasn't been released or no availability because it has been released and it's sold out. So, anyway.
Correct. Which is also frustrating. Yes.
I need a new website.
I can't even change the gender of a guest online. That has to be a 45-minute, if I hit Mr. instead of Ms. or something. I mean, that's a 45 minutes of my life I'm not getting back. This should not be that hard. So don't tell me about this. Seriously, I said the same thing. Like, we put a man on the moon. I just need to change. I hit the wrong thing in the drop-down box. Why do I have to suffer 45 minutes of music?
I know. Lord.
Anyway, God, I love you guys. This is so fun. All right, we got to wrap it up.
We really do have a passion for it because there's no way we put up with it.
Yeah, no, you have to have a passion for it because you don't put up with it any other way.
That's true. All right, time for the last question of the day. It's coming from Cincinnati, Ohio. Jennifer's got a question about her July 4th, 2019 trip. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We're getting so psyched for our trip to the world this year on July 4th. We have two girls, 16 and 13, and have been to Disney just about once a year, but have never stayed on property. We are going all out this year with 6 nights in a one-bedroom villa at the Boardwalk. Oh, man, you're going to love it.
There you go.
And that's a perfect place to be on 4th of July. My question is, since we're arriving on the 4th of July around noon, Do you recommend we try to make it to the Magic Kingdom to see the fireworks, or should we stick to Epcot given that we can walk there from our resort? We know the crowds could be unmanageable on the 4th, so thought maybe Epcot, but are the Magic Kingdom 4th fireworks not to be missed? We are experienced with high crowd days, so this really doesn't scare us. We'd love to hear your opinion. Thanks for keeping me close to the world all year long, Jennifer. All right, Pam, we're going to say the same thing. I mean, you're staying at the boardwalk. You're walking to Epcot. It's the last year for Illuminations. This is a no-brainer. It's Epcot all the way, right?
I agree. I mean, that's just what it is, for convenience, for ease. The beauty of seeing the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom on a holiday is, hello, you're at the Magic Kingdom on a holiday. It's awesome. I hope you really think it was awesome, because it's going to take you a long time to get back to your hotel afterwards, and you just have to be prepared for that. But guess what? You're staying at an Epcot resort, and boom, you can walk home. You don't have to wait for a tram or a monorail or a bus or find your car, or once you get in your car, get taken this really odd way because Disney has closed roads and you can't take a left from here anymore and whatever. So anyways, absolutely, I would do Epcot all the way. And the Epcot fireworks are fantastic.
Yes.
Really, really so good. And there's a comment here from Joe, who is in the chat room, who has asked a couple times when 2020 packages will be coming out. And unfortunately, we just don't know that yet. We're thinking the spring, but Disney hasn't released any information. So,
which they never do. But what I'm telling everybody is it's usually like in May, like May, June-ish, early June, middle of May. We don't know. But the thing is, like I keep telling everybody, who knows? Because like Halloween tickets went on sale in January.
So, right?
I
mean,
that's true. Very true.
You just never know. We'll definitely let you know as soon as it happens. I mean, just follow on social media. I mean, you'll see it everywhere.
We'll get a little bit of a heads up, typically, because Disney will let us know, you know, this is when it's coming. They've been good about that, at least the last couple years. So, but yeah, we don't know yet.
Yep, let's do this. And also, before we get out of here today, a shout out to Ashley Elaine. She has been listening to the podcast for 2 years now, and she says, we're awesome. My family and I are leaving in 20 days to take my five-year-old niece, Olivia, on her first trip to Walt Disney World. So how awesome is that? Memories being made.
That's awesome.
Love hearing that.
There's nothing better than being at someone who's there for the very first time. They just, you think you know what to expect, but you don't really.
So. I love that everybody takes the time to listen to the show. And, you know, I think that, you know, the three of us, sometimes we get so bogged down, and because we've been there so many times, like, what am I going to do? You know, like, are we going to go to Geyser Point? Are we going to go to Baseline Tap House, you know, and do this and that?
Yeah, but, going to
Baseline. But okay, I know, but I mean, think about it, that there are folks out there listening to the show today, wherever you are, you know, maybe on a run, maybe doing some shopping, maybe on your commute to work, you know, getting excited for that very, very first Walt Disney World experience. And Ricky, I mean, that is a special thing. Think about it. Like, we don't get to have that anymore, but that is such a special time in life.
I know there are very few firsts that we get anymore with Disney. Secret, I have a first that's coming up later this year, which I'm very excited about. I'm not going to talk about it yet, but I do have a first. You know, there are still a few things that we get, but you're right. We don't get that first time very often. And sometimes it is hard to remember that first time feeling, but it's the best feeling in the world. I just have to say, like, it really is. It is the best feeling in the world. So you're going to have so much fun. You're going to get to see so much and enjoy so much joy with the family. It's going to be a blast.
You know, that is one of the things, because we went to Universal back in April with the travel agency and, you know, did lots of training. But they also gave us free time to go explore. And we had that, you know, the free unlimited express pass and so forth. But the thing that I enjoyed the most was that the fact that I didn't know really where anything was. Like, it was so bizarre, because even like my Six Flags, I grew up there. Like, we had season passes my whole life, you know, so I could go through there with my eyes closed. I can go to any of the Disney parks with my eyes closed. But like Universal, it was just, I had no idea where things were. And it was awesome. Like, I love the fact that I could get lost in a theme park and just turn a corner and like, whoa, what's that? You know, hey, I'll try that. I have no idea what that's going to be. And there's something to be said for that, too. It's kind of the opposite end of where we all are right now. So fun. So hope you have a great trip. All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. What are we reading about on this free iOS app? Ricky, you're up.
Well, we are reading about a very large refurbishment that is going to be taking place at a favorite of ours, a Beaches and Cream.
Are they okay? Well, okay. So I haven't heard this confirmed, but are they finally? I've been saying this for 5 years. Are they finally knocking down that wall and expanding into the arcade? Please
Dear
tell me they are.
Everyone, please, let's make that true.
Because that thing is empty all the time. That thing is always empty. And I mean, you take out a wall, you have twice the capacity, and it's awesome. What?
If they do not, it is the dumbest decision Disney has made in a really long time. Because if they're taking it down, they're taking it down for at least 6 months, by the way.
Yes.
So it's going to be down from August 5th to sometime in December, okay? So if they don't tear down that wall and make more seating in that restaurant in a six-month time period, Disney, you're doing it wrong.
Although, but think about it. They'd have to update the kitchen because the kitchen's not big enough. For something that, so it might lose some of its charm. Just saying, I'm happy either way because either they are updating other parts of it or not. But yeah, there is always that worry.
I know that everything in the news is about walls lately. I mean, I get it. It's always about a wall. But I'm just saying, for the love of God, take that one down and just make Beaches and Cream prices big, and you will be elected president.
You're
whoever does
start
that.
A different kind of wall to me, my friend.
Look, if I have to go in and tear down that wall myself, I will. Let me just give me a hammer. I'm saying is,
hey, you want to be the president in 2020? Take down the wall, Beaches and Cream, man. You're halfway there.
You'll be good to go. So I'm sure we'll be happy to help you knock down that wall. I'm just saying.
So read these, biting political commentary excluded over on Theme Park News Disney Edition.
That's right. Well, sometimes,
yeah. So, yeah, check it out today. It's a great way to turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Again, thanks for supporting the show. With all of your purchases on Amazon, just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And, of course, join us in the 8,000 Disney fans over on Facebook, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Until we get back together again on Friday, we're going to talk about taking the toddlers down to Walt Disney World. Even if you don't have kids, we promise to make it fun for you. That's what we do. It's not just for the people that have toddlers, but they need it the most, man. I was there. Whew. That is a tough job. Those terrible twos and the terrific, I don't know what the threes are, but they're horrible too a lot of the time. It was just bad. So we're going to have a good time talking about how to have the best trip with toddlers here.
Tantrumrific would be a good word.
Lord, Mallory was a wrecking ball. She still is, but it was even worse back then. So we'll see. So we hope you join us on Friday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. Hump day. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.